Blog Talk Radio.
Brown for the Pastors for Punch TV studio. Thank you for calling in and being a part of this phenomenal talk show. We have a special guest with us today, Minister B.J. Fletcher from Tallahassee, Florida, a phenomenal motivational speaker of the Les Brown team, and we're going to be bringing him on pretty soon. But you can have someone else to call in if you want to. Call your friends, go on your social media, Facebook, email them and let them know. Look, we're on a talk show with the Punch TV studio with Minister B.J. Fletcher. That number is 657-383-1974, and you still have time to let somebody know. Text them the number and say, come on, get on this show, because he's going to have some interesting things to talk about today. Well, just a little bit so you know that this is Punch TV Studio. Our CEO is Joseph Collins, and we are a broadcasting network, number one black-owned station in Los Angeles, California, over 15 million viewers, and we are in the midst of phenomenal history-making for the studio, making movies and shows. But today, B.J. Fletcher is on the line, and we're going to be bringing him on soon. But let me tell you a little bit about him. B.J. Fletcher is the royal minister who explores the kingdom of God, searching for righteousness. The many adventures of his journey are shared through his lectures, research, and writings. Most of his lectures and writings are based on his studies of the social culture aspects of sports, particularly his spiritual elements. These experiences are inspiring many in sports culture to embrace their divinity. For the past 30 years, BJ has been either actively involved in sports culture as an athlete, coach, parent, or passively involved as a business owner and community member. His many involvements show him the sports culture from a variety of perspectives. BJ is convinced that the success and failures in sports are determined by the same things that determine success and failure in life and a spiritual connection. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest for the day is Mr. BJ Fletcher. Mr. Fletcher, how are you doing today?
I am doing excellent, excellent, highly favored and blessed, wonderful.
Yes, you are. Well, we are so honored to have you today on our talk show. We met a couple of weeks ago when I was in Fort Lauderdale, both of us endeavoring and embarking on the same career as motivational speakers. And here we are today, networking, making things happen, and that's what it's all about. So what we're going to do, yes. I ask a little question sometime, but I want you just to be relaxed, take your time, tell your audience what you're all about, kind of give them a little information about where you come from, you know, where you're going, and how did you get to this place. And then most definitely, we know that you are a man of God, so just share some things with us that you have on your heart.
Wow. Well, the first thing I really want to talk about is I've seen that on your show you were talking about success. And that's what I want to talk about because my success story is it's a little different from most. But like most people, my success story starts at birth. I think me being alive is the beginning of my success. Because my birth wasn't just a success. I think it was a medical miracle. Because my mother was told by doctors that she would not be able to have a child.
Wow.
Imagine how frustrating that was for a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
But Friday, February 13th, came busting out a 10-pound healthy baby boy.
How many?
Which is me. 10 pounds. I was born 10 pounds.
Wow.
And it's been love ever since. So from that birth, I've always had feelings of blessings. I always felt special. Imagine that, you know, always, you know, people just happy you around. So that's the feeling that I have gotten to since I've been here in this world. And it's a quote I wanted to mention that I think is very important for anybody listening who is after success or who wants success. It says, "A strong and positive self-image is the best possible preparation for success." So being able to have that strong and positive self-image always is the key to having success. That's how we attract the people that we attract. Like Les Brown said, you don't achieve success, you attract success, right?
Right, right.
So that is one of the things I like to talk about. And when you introduced me as the royal minister,
mm-hmm.
and that is what I like to call, is it because of 1 Peter 2:9,
mm-hmm.
if you can recall that. And it says that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people,
mm-hmm.
that ye should show forth your praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And I can tell you firsthand that life has had a lot of darknesses. You've been through a lot of shadows, but I'm here.
Wow.
I am seeing the light.
Yes, you are.
Most definitely.
Divine purpose.
Yes, it is a divine purpose. It's so much to say. So my story is so complex that I really don't know where to start. But I guess I have to start where all stories start at the beginning, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
So, man, I come from a little town called Cerncy, Georgia. That's where I stay. It's a very small town. I don't even think they have a stop sign. And it was fun. It was fun as a child because I didn't know no better. I didn't know any better.
Now, BJ, are you the only child?
No, I am not. I have three brothers and a sister.
But you're the first.
I'm the first.
Wow. So mom, the doctor tell mom that she won't be able to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come.
And then I come.
And then here comes some more.
And then everybody else comes.
Wow, that is something. You brought forth a mighty powerful avenue for your siblings. And she defiled the rules of what a doctor said was not possible, and God made it possible. What a miracle.
Yes, it is. You know, mighty miracle. That's why I'm so happy to be here. Really, I live every day. It seems like I'm nonchalant, but sometimes we just got to be thankful to be here. And knowing that your being here has a purpose, that we all have a purpose, especially when you call yourself a Christian and you're in the body of Christ, knowing that everything on your body has a function, and we
That's
all
true.
Need to get in our place and know that, hey, whatever you're doing is important. It doesn't matter if you're a toenail on a big toe. Nah, we all got big toes, and if the toenail missing, it's causing some pain. So everybody is important. That's one thing all need to know.
Right.
We all need to know that.
So tell us about your experiences as growing up.
Oh, experiences. Oh, yeah. I've had so many. Well, when I was young, when I was born in a small town, south of Georgia, my parents kind of had to move around a lot, you know, try to establish yourself. I won't go too much into that because, you know, I'm sure my mother wouldn't want to hear that. So we always got to honor our mother and father, so I'm going to leave it alone. I ain't going to tell too many details. But I spent a lot of time with my grandparents because my parents were moving around so much. And the circumstances were not the best. I had some great experiences because I've experienced the kind of poverty that at the time I thought was fun. But as I grow older, I'm like, oh wow, everybody ain't been through this. Like having to take a bath in a tin tub and pump water.
Wow.
You know, I'm not that old, so that, you know, I was like, oh wow, that's pretty deep. You know, that was fun for me at that time. You know, one of my fondest memories is we stayed in an old trailer that needed a lot of fixing up, and I would stay up late night with my BB gun and shoot the rats as they tried to come in the house, because we had to stay on like a farm. It was big field rats trying to come in. It was, I didn't know. I didn't know any better. Where we stayed, it was. I put it like this. Moving to the projects was a good thing. People were happy to move to the projects.
Why?
It was, it was that kind of place. It was it was very, very country, very rural.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of overt racism. You know, sometimes nowadays we have covert, and people, you can know they act a certain way, but it was a lot of overt racism. I think the first time I experienced racism for real, because most time I just didn't pay no attention. But I remember being riding on the bus, and I sat in the seat with a little white girl, and I remember all the friends just picking on her and calling her nigger lover to the point to where she was crying, and I was like, wow, yeah. So
after you come out, they said that.
Say what?
They said nigger lover.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was kind of deep, you know, at a young age, just seeing that. It just really, it kind of polarized me for a long while to see how that was. But we moved around a whole lot of places.
So did you continue to be a friend? Did you continue?
Yeah. It's, you know, of course we were friends. We were little kids. I'm friends with everybody.
Right.
I didn't really know about being mad. They weren't hurting me. She was crying. I thought that they were picking on her. They weren't picking at me. I never put the two and two together.
Right. See, that's the difference between our race and other cultures, because a lot of things that we have really not the real knowledge of what's really going on, because we're not taught to hate people. We love anybody, any type of ethnic group. But other people, they teach their kids, you know, about blacks, Asians, Mexicans. So when they hear stuff, because otherwise it wouldn't have affected her like that.
That is true.
Yeah, just like with me, when I was growing up, I had a little white girlfriend live next door. I would go over there, you know, play in the house, whatever, but she never came to my house. I'm quite sure that probably was not even permitted, but I never considered the thought why she never came to my house. And I was always at her house. But still, like you, although prejudice was into existence, certain areas, it wasn't just as bad, and the kids did play together. So, back to your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
You,
so. Yeah. So from that, you know, it's always going to be you're kind of cautious of, you know, white men, because, you know, other things went on, you know, like, oh, I won't get into to too much details, but you're always cautious and non-trusting. I think it wasn't until we moved to Florida and I entered into the ninth grade till I really got comfortable. I developed a relationship with my coach in Carl Strelo. He's a white man. He's a classic white man. But when I say it was a loving relationship, like he was my father, and that's what opened my eyes to see that people are people, and people, you know, can really love each other. It doesn't matter about the different races and all that. If they really love you, and they can see past so many things.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, and of course, throughout my history growing up, it was a pretty strong religious growing up. Like I said, I stayed with my grandparents a lot, and I remember my grandmother, she had a record player, and man, it seemed like thousands of albums. And that's what we used to do, is just play old gospel records. It wasn't nothing else going on. We didn't have no cable. You know, it wasn't really too much cable back then. So just playing the music. So, yeah, God has really been a big part of my life. That spirituality has always been a great, great factor in who I am. It's just been beyond real.
That is awesome.
Beyond real. So, let me see. Wow, I got so many stories from childhood.
Well, listen, we're going to narrow those stories down, because you know what? Les Brown said you got to kind of narrow them down and get to a story that you know is going to be something that you could just play it, even with your, if you're in your sleep, you can talk about it. You know, that's what they teach you.
I think, yes, that is true. So I'm going to talk about one I know very well, and one that sticks out. I think it's the most profound story of my childhood, and that is the story about when I moved to Florida. Because as I said before, we moved around a lot. We moved around throughout South Georgia and in Atlanta or whatnot. And I'm all right size, man. You know, I'm about 6'2", 220. You know, not a large man, but not a small man either. I was the same size when I was in the sixth grade, sixth and seventh grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I thought that, you know, I'm thinking I'm tough. You know, I just didn't know no better. I'm thinking I'm the toughest guy in school. I was a friendly bully. You know, I was a bully, but I was a friendly bully. I was friends with everybody, but you're gonna do what I need you to do. So when we moved to Florida, I told y'all I met Coach, and I'm the toughest guy. Every time we move, I try to find the toughest guy in the neighborhood, and I try to fight him and beat him up. And Coach Strelo, he kind of came to me and said, "Hey, man, you need to do something like that. Why don't you come and wrestle?" And I'm like, "That's I don't know. I don't think that's us. You know, I don't think about basketball team suck. You can want to. Well, basketball team wasn't too good. So finally, kept coming to me, and I ended up joining the wrestling team. I thought made about 1,001 excuses.
Okay.
Yeah, and he sold me on the idea that you come on the wrestling team, you can win a state championship, and you can be done with it. That goes to say, sometimes you got to believe in others before you have a belief in yourself.
Right.
Because I didn't know no better. You know, of what wrestling was and how to be a state champion, nothing like. So I'm thinking, okay, I can beat up pretty much anybody, and so I'm going to do this. I'm going to go ahead and win. And then I started wrestling, and that was a whole nother way. It's not a ball game. You don't play. Wrestling is a game you don't play. You play football, you play basketball, but you don't play wrestling. You wrestle.
Wow.
You wrestle. For real. It's a real thing. It's a one of a kind experience. That's why I like the story of when Jacob changed his name to Israel in the Bible, because he had to wrestle. And when you wrestle, it will change your life. Nothing is the same after that, because you have to dig deep within yourself.
You're in competition, right?
Yeah, you're in competition, but it's competition really with yourself. You have to be able to. It was a really spiritual experience for me. They have a movie called Vision Quest about a wrestler, because you got to really discipline yourself as far as eating, discipline yourself as far as working out, you know, discipline yourself as far as visualizing, getting up and say, hey, I'm going to stay focused on this goal until I get there.
Right.
And that was the important part. But so my ninth grade year, I went out and I wrestled, and I got to the semifinals, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna make it stay. I'm gonna be all right, wrestle. It was the regionals, and this guy beat me, and he beat
really?
Me like by a few points, and I was like, ain't no way, I got beat. So I was like, okay, I got. My whole goal is to be a state champion, and that reminds
me
of.
So was this guy heavier than you, or what's the size? Was he more taller?
Well, you know,
when we
wrestle in weight class, so everybody is the same, weighs the same as you, whatever. He was
okay.
It was a real humbling experience, and he just beat me.
Mm.
And that was no excuse. So, you know, that goes from we talk about success. You see, unsuccessful people make decisions
mm-hmm.
based on their current situations, and successful
right.
people make decisions based on where they want to be. So I wanted to be a champion. So I could have, you know, just quit, let it go, and gone back to what I was doing. But I made the decision to keep pushing forward, because this is what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to do. And that came at that 10th grade year, and I wrestled. And I did pretty good. I was pretty much undefeated. I'm thinking, okay, I'm pretty good. And then I ended up going against this guy who was a two-time state champion, a national qualifier, a national champion in Greco. And, man, he put a whipping on me. I mean, he had a show. So, but, again, I had made it to the state semifinals. So I'm thinking, I'm a pretty good guy in 10th grade. I'm all right. Come back again the next year. I'm like, sure, man, I got to win this year. This is most definitely my year. I don't want to wrestle the whole time I'm here in high school. I want to do other things. But I got to have a state championship. And you know how Jesus talked about how you keep your eyes single, and, you know, uh-huh. and when the eyes are the light to the body,
uh-huh.
and when your eyes single, you light up your whole body. That
mm-hmm.
is very true. Because when you say keep the eyes single, if you keep a single goal, the
mm-hmm.
one thing that you're focused on, you want that to be the focus.
Mm-hmm.
It'll light up your whole body. And when I say light up your whole body, you'll see opportunities come around from everywhere. Everybody who you attract, the right people who want you to do the things you do. So
right.
my 10th grade year, I end up wrestling a guy named Rufus Baldwin from Valdosta, Georgia. Now, I'm big-headed, and I'm full of myself. And I'm thinking, I'm pretty much beating everybody.
Mm.
And on our home, in my home gym, my daddy had came to watch me, and I was so proud. So I wrestled Rufus, and he grabbed me by my head and threw me on the ground, and I couldn't do nothing. And out of anger, you know, I'm swiping his head, and I knocked his little headgear off his head. How about he picked me up, walked me across the mat, and over there, in front of my daddy, put his headgear back on while he's holding me. Yes, and pinned me right there.
Right
in front of my father. Right in front of my father.
Or what?
I don't know if it was intense, but it felt like it. I was hurt. My feelings was hurt. My feelings was really hurt. But that led to a change.
Right.
Led to a change in my life, because after that, I'm like, I'm tired of getting beat. I want to be a champion. I'm going to be a champion. That summer, after he beat me and embarrassed me like that in front of everybody, I went to his house. I said, you're going to teach me everything you know so I can be a state champion too. Because he had one, he was like a three-time state champion. He was the man. So I went to Valdosta. I stayed with him. I learned the people. Yes. Everything.
You talking about
he showed me stuff.
You went to stay with your opponent?
I went to stay with my opponent.
Oh, my Lord. So you went to the enemy's camp.
Well, you know what? He went. They say how you get the fast way to get rid of enemies is make them your friends, right?
What I'm talking about? Oh Lord!
So yeah, I ended up making great friends with him. We still talk every now and then today. I learned so much just doing that. And I really when I went there, that's when I found out what being a champion or being successful was really all about.
Okay.
Learning.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah. So believing in yourself is really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the beginning I said the best preparation for success is having a strong, positive self-image.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to be a champion, when you want to be a millionaire, when you want to be anything that you're looking forward to, you
mm-hmm.
got to believe that you are already that and behave that way. And then your skills and everything that you need will come that way. You know, I realize, okay, I'm a state champion. That way, now I need to wrestle like a state champion. I need to train like a state champion. I need to be focused like a state champion. Then my whole demeanor and everything changed. I start hanging around the people who were winning.
Wow.
All of a sudden, I went from, guys who are okay to every next thing I know, all I'm hanging with is the guys who are doing good.
Now, listen, BJ, hold that thought. I want you to come back to that. I'm going to take a commercial because I need you to really drive a point home to people that are listening, because I know you said you want to talk about success and where you are right now. I want you to take some more time and talk about that. So we're going to do a commercial right here.
Thank you.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
This is a Queen Vander Power Nugget.
Did you know our afflictions have value? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 lets us know our light, afflictions, pressures, trials, and tribulations, which is but for a moment, a point in time, a season, a mark, significant, worketh, achieves, accomplishes.
That was a commercial by Queen Vanda. She is the CEO of ePastors Network, and we are merged together where she comes in and supplies the nuggets for our show. But one good thing that I want to say, if you ever wanted to do an advertisement, if you're giving an event or something like that, that's the person you would want to contact about your ministry, because what she does, she advertises your ministry for over 14,000 pastors or more, and all she does is e-blast, and that's Vanda Womack. But today, this is the Pastors for Punch TV studio. I'm your host, Joy Brown. You can call me Joy in the House. But our special guest today is Minister B.J. Fletcher, and he has some phenomenal stories that he's talking about. But just as we were going into the break for the commercial, he was giving us some very good points on how to stay focused on your goals. So, BJ, tell us more about that.
Staying focused on your goal. Well, I talked about how you got to change yourself. We say renewing of the mind. You got to constantly remind yourself and have you be that person that you want to be. You got to be the person in your mind first. And to help you stay focused, write it down. We say write the vision and make it plain. And that is the way to getting to knowing who you are and what you're doing. You're headed toward a goal, because we all are living trying to get somewhere. But where is the place? You got to make that decision. And I think before the break, I was talking about how I went and stayed with this guy, and he taught me all these things, all of the conditioning and the things you need to do. But talking to his coach was like, hey, man, you're pretty good. You belong. And I think that's I know that's the message that we have for everybody here today. Whatever that desire is that's in your heart, or whatever you're aiming towards, or what you want to become of yourself, or what you want to make, you got to know that is okay. It's okay to be that person. You belong in that group of people, whether you want to be a CEO or a movie star or a speaker or a manager. If you want to be that, it's okay to just be that and believe. Once you believe, it's already in you to have that. So my 11th grade year, I came back, fresh from staying with Rufus, and I'm on fire. My aura goes through the roof. I just have a presence. I walk in the gym, and everybody already know who I am. It's amazing, right? I'm just running through people. I was undefeated. Beating everybody by leaps and bounds. It wasn't even close until I got to the semifinals of the state championship. And me being, a young kid, I'm full of energy, I ended up wrestling this guy, and I picked him up and I slammed him so hard.
What?
I got disqualified.
I'm
going into the state championship finals, and I get disqualified from the tournament. And it brought me to tears. It was I ended up slamming him so bad that his mom and sister and his family came down from the stands trying to fight me. And I'm thinking about myself. I don't lost this thing I've been working for this whole time, preparing myself. And now it was gone just that fast.
So what were you thinking about when you did that? What was going through your mind that you were going to get this champion no matter what?
Well, I was just excited. I was showing out, trying to be dominant.
Okay.
And not thinking
okay.
of what
right.
it could you know, what it could be. And that's one thing we all got to realize, and we are whatever we're working for. We got to be aware of what's going on around us, because we got to stay in our lanes, got to stay within our boundaries, because so much can be lost in an instant.
Okay.
But that reminds me of another quote, and it says, "Success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm." Now, after that loss in the semifinals, I could have easily like, okay, man, I'm through, and because it was a real hit to my ego, a real hit to my personality, and who I thought I was. But enthusiasm is what saved it. If we all know, enthusiasm is to be possessed by the Spirit of God. That's what that is. That's in us. That gives us that it factor. When you see somebody and they got enthusiasm, there's just so much energy, you just don't know where it's coming from. You just feel so good, right? And then we have this thing in sports, as they say, enthusiasm is contagious. If you have enthusiasm, you got the Spirit of God in you, it can jump on you, and then it's going to jump on your teammates, and then it jump on the coaches. And if you ever played ball or did anything inside of a stadium, or even been to a stadium or a basketball game, and then get in there, you can feel it. It's something you can feel when you just go into the room, and that enthusiasm is the spirit. When I, when when I do my research and I talk about this in the sports culture, that's what I'm talking about. It's something else that a lot of people can't describe. They just know it's intangible. It's something that you feel, right?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Awesome.
So
well,
I took that in. Go ahead.
Of course, our line, we invite guests, and we got a guest on the line that has a question, and her name is Chantel, and I'm going to bring Chantel on the line because she has something very important and interesting that she want to ask you, okay?
Sure.
Thank you, Chantel. You're joining the conversation today, and we appreciate you calling. And BJ is available now. That if whatever you want to ask him, feel free to do that.
Okay. Hi, BJ. I just wanted to ask, what I wanted to ask was, how do you like being a part of the Institute, the Les Brown Institute?
Oh, wow. The Les Brown Institute, it is wonderful. I'm glad you asked that, because to me, it reminds me of sports. Because, you know, I had the thing in sports. It's the same thing. You got to adjust to the Institute. You're around so many high-level people. You only have the choice. It's either sink or swim. Either you're going to come up the par or you need to get out. So I love being a part of the Institute, because there's so many successful people who are in the places that I want to be, who are doing what I like to do. And it's just a positive network. So it makes me step my game up even higher, being a part of the Les Brown Institute. It's a wonderful experience.
Absolutely. Okay, yes. Thank you, BJ.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chantel, what is your experience with being with the Les Brown Maximum Achievement Group?
Oh, I will definitely agree on that one. BJ said there, and it's definitely transformational, for sure. It brings you from one level to the next, to the highest level of your performance. So as I'm listening to BJ and hearing his story, and, you know, just those obstacles and those things you go through that build your character, your strength, build your strength, and to be able to become successful and have that mindset. So transformational, and as you said, definitely to go to that next level. It's like mandatory.
You're right, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's awesome. I was in the that's where I met BJ when we went to the certificate award in October, and just meeting so many people from different cultures, and it was so touching when people got up to tell their stories. It's just like, wow. And it's almost seemed like, man, I know I have a story, but I'm kind of like BJ. I have so many, and you really want to be selective and fine-tune your story so when you tell it to people, it'll hit home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a lesson right now for Les Brown. Sometimes, you know, because the way I was taught, I hate to not say Mr. Les Brown, you know, because of what he was taught. But he is so down to earth, just like with Ona, when they was teaching the classes and stuff like that, you know, him sharing his experience, and you'd be saying, like, wow. And you do have to see yourself in that place in order to achieve and meet that goal. And sometimes when you look at yourself, because I want to ask both of you, since we're on that subject, what transpired in your life to make you see that you wanted to become a part of the Les Brown Achievement Team, and how do you see yourself in the future? And I'm going to ask you that first, BJ, and then I want to ask Chantel you to answer it next.
Okay. Wow. So, me becoming a Les Brown certified speaker, it was divine intervention. Because if we fast forward my story a lot, you know, so I end up going to college, get a lot of education, and become a bail bondsman, working from the school, coaching, and I'm doing all these great things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I end up in an incident. It's parallel to the story that I had in high school where I slammed the guy. So in an instance, I lost it all. I end up having to do some things that I really don't need to talk about right now, but and
mm-hmm.
I just lost everything. My whole world got turned upside down. I didn't have a job. I couldn't get a job. I was ostracized in my community. Everything was different.
Mm-hmm.
But I always used to joke and say, I want a job where, hey, I can don't have to retire. I'm going to just end up speaking, writing, and researching. So when this happened, it kind of forced my hand. People say if you want to do something, you got to just be single-minded, do it, and just burn the boats to have no way out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was God put me in a situation where he burnt all of my boats and everything else. I had no other choice but to do it, and it ended up being the biggest blessing in my life because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have never came a speaker. I'd just been talking about it and still working, still doing this,
mm-hmm.
still
mm-hmm.
doing that. And, yeah, that is really what transpired to make me have to go there.
Right.
And I'm loving every bit of it now.
That's wonderful. So what's your story, Chantel?
Okay. So how I became a part of the Institute. It was how I became a part of the Institute, and then you said, where am I going? Where do I want to go?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I know for me, when I started to being unhappy and lost and sad and depressed, when I transitioned from that into getting into my state of mind and learning what worked for me and getting rid of my things, getting rid of the things that were not important to me that did not serve me, when I went into that mold and started to value myself, it led me to the path of my past and what I wanted. So it took me from making some decisions and, you know, talking to myself and the belief. And then one day as I'm just listening to motivational videos, I come across Les Brown, and he just resonated with me so well where I felt like he was talking to me. So I said, and then I heard about the, and then I would talk out loud and I say, wait, what do I like to do? I'm like, well, I like to motivate people. I've been doing that all my life. I even asked like 5 friends, like, if you could think of anything in the world that I can, and
mm-hmm.
they all said the same thing. You're always talking positive. You always want to see the better in somebody. And I said, okay. So then, yeah. So I said, well, I need a mentor, right? And I looked him up, and he had an institute. So, and with that, and being a part of the institute, where I'm going, I want to transform millions of lives around the world and give them a light of hope to just enjoy themselves.
Oh, that's good. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, BJ, listen, I'm going to take just another commercial. And then I want to come back and talk to you about the ministry, where you are,
yes.
and what do you do, and as far as your speaking engagement with that also. But I'm going to go ahead and just hit another commercial, and then I'm going to come back, and then we have about another 12 minutes, and we're going to talk again and see how we can get in touch with you also. I want you to make sure you have your email address available, a phone number that people can contact you in case they want you to speak. Just be prepared to have that available also, okay? And thank you, Chantel,
yes.
for your comments.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
This is a Queen Vander Power Nugget.
Did you know that we have to keep first things? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 lets us know, I exhort, desire, instruct, therefore, that first, supplication, prayer, intercession, a coming together, a conversation, kings, presidents, and all who are in authority. Why? For this is good, beautiful, honorable, in the sight, in the presence of God, our Savior.
Thank you. Again, this is the Pastors for Punch TV studio, your host, Joy Brown. Now, you can visit our website, which is punchtvstudios.com. We are a broadcasting network producing movies and shows. If you have anybody that you know that have a show, have contents ready to go, you can contact the station by email, and possibly one of their shows that they have will be on and available for you to push them into the career. It's a black-owned business, and Mr. Joseph Collins is the CEO, and I am the executive VP. But we have on our line our special guest, Minister B.J. Fletcher, and other guests that are calling in. So we have just a few more moments, but B.J., tell us a little bit about the ministry, because I know that's what God is leading you to the masses with the speaking engagements that you're going to be having, and, you know, with the sports culture that you have, how you are embracing both of these ministries together. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the main ministry is B.J. Fletcher Ministry. I do a couple of things. I focus on sports and wrestling. Then I focus on leadership, where I work with middle school and high school youth to develop self-awareness and confidence using science, athletics, and cognitive skills. For short, we just call this like the SAC method. So I use science to help them understand the mind-body connection with physiology and psychology, which is my history with education. And with athletics, I'm able to teach them team building and goal achievement. And through cognition, we help them gain understanding of the thoughts and experiences that are going on and how that can relate to life.
That's absolutely
so that
wonderful.
That's part of my ministry, where I am out and about amongst the people. Because if we look at church is not just a building, but it's a gathering of the people. So I'm out amongst the people. I'm in neighborhoods. I develop relationships with these people, and that is my ministry. I try to live my ministry, where Christians are supposed to be like Jesus. You're supposed to be living like Jesus, being an example of what he was. So I do participate or preach in a church for that structure and backing, but most of my ministry is in the streets with people, creating relationships, and we do everything. Most of what I do is involving sports, because that's a big part of it. As I was saying before, it's something that's in sports that's intangible, to where you can get a taste of that Holy Spirit, that spirituality, without having to go through so much. It is right there. It is there. You know, I was interviewing a few doctors and everything, and we were talking about the relationship between spirituality and sports, and he just went, man, it blew my mind, to where they went back to how sports is the expression of spirituality. He goes back to Mount Olympus, when people are trying, it's like it's the God in you that's doing this thing. You're trying to make yourself perfect in sports. And there's a lot of sports that the athletes are doing that. It's not necessarily focused on a particular religion, but that is what they're doing. It's no way that it's undeniable. I work with, I work, man, it's amazing the results I've seen when I work with these juveniles with behavior problems and the people who are going from the school to prison pipeline, and by implementing the SAC method, where I was able to give these people the self-awareness and the confidence they need. And I could use athletics to teach them the science and the cognitive skills and give them some positive touch, some positive encouragement, letting them know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And building that positive self-image, things have completely changed in their lives. And it's not nothing that I'm doing, but it's what God is doing through me to let these people see who they really are.
I'm loving what you're saying because I've never heard this before. And you wonder, that sports and music are two major fields that most young adults have a great transformation in their life. And what you're saying is just phenomenal.
Yeah. It's
because what you're doing, you're connecting the two. Because, you know, young people that are very athletic, they get out there, they totally... mind is transforming to that sport that they're in. And I know the victories, the defeats, they get all that part of a package.
Yes.
So they learn how to juggle the differences and the rules and the regulations that go along with that sport. So you are really hitting home on some things that I hadn't even thought about. It's amazing. So is some of your writings that you do, is that what it's in pertaining to? The sports, how do you correlate both of those together when you're starting to write? You know, I guess you probably got some books out or are supposed to have some books somewhere that's coming out of
you. Well, I have not gone public with that. Writings I tell to the children of experiences that I have had. But one thing I always do try to get them to realize, the connection between sports and real life is amazing. Because what sports gives is an artificial obstacle. Like in life, we have different obstacles and things we need to get over and get past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's dealing with people or whether it's dealing with circumstances. And sports gives you an opportunity to see that real life.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who can, what they experience in sports and transition it to life, do fabulous. It's amazing to see how people can take that and go, especially with team building. I talked to interviewed a lot of bosses or hiring managers, supervisors, and they love people who have played team sports. Because it's just a natural gel.
PJ, we're running real close to the end.
I'm sorry.
A lot to talk about, but you've got to tell us how to get in touch with you because we need to know that.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I'm BJ Fletcher. My phone number is 850-264-9718. You can reach me by email at drbjfletcher@gmail.com. That's drbjfletcher@gmail.com.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for tuning in to the Pastors for Punch TV studio, our special guest and the guest that came in to give words and for just the whole success story of BJ Fletcher. We call him Mac Jesus. That's what he told us. So it's been an honor. Yeah, you know we're not going to forget that, Fletcher. But it's been such an honor to bring you onto my talk show today and share the word. Let somebody know that you're on here. Share it with your social media and let them know that, hey, Joy Brown want to interview you on her show, The Pastors for Punch TV Studio. Normally, it is just pastors that I come in because what we're endeavoring to do is to document church history. But there are always exceptions to the rules. So, listen, tomorrow you can call 657-383-1974. And I'm going to wish you a great day. And thank you again for you coming in on today, sharing your story with us. And Joy Brown says you have greatness within you. And you all have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.